On this episode of Course Agility, I'm going to be having a little fun with technology. So on this episode of Course Agility, I thought I'd find out what ChatGPT knows about agility. And I'm very tech-oriented. At least I like to keep up on things. I am a software engineer, but I'm like an application software engineer, so I'm not the biggest techie in the world. But I heard a lot about this ChatGPT. There's concerns about people using it to do their homework, all sorts of things. So I was curious to know what it knows about dog agility. So on this episode, I'm going to ask ChatGPT a few questions about dog agility. And in the following segment, my questions, I'm going to use a voice changer. So the questions will be asked in slightly my voice, but slightly different. And then I'll read you what ChatGPT told me in the answers. And if you have not heard about ChatGPT, it's an artificial intelligence that generates text in a conversational mode. So when you go on there, and all if you can create an account, I'm just using the free, I don't even know what the upgraded version is, but I'm just using the free one. So you need to provide an email, and they send you an email and you verify yourself. But when you get on there, it gives you like examples. Explain quantum computing in simple terms. Got any creative ideas for a 10-year-old's birthday? How do I make an HTTP request in JavaScript? Which is a computer programming thing for the web. And then it tells you what its capability. It remembers what users said earlier in the conversation. Allows users to provide follow-up corrections. Trained to decline inappropriate requests. For example, I don't think I can ask it how to make a bomb. Not that I would want to. And then there's limitations. It may occasionally generate incorrect information. May occasionally produce harmful instructions or biased content. And its limited knowledge of world and events after 2021. And the GPT part of ChatGPT is it's a pre-trained on text from the internet, the world of the internet. So we'll see what that pre-training has told it about technology. So I'm going to take a short break. After the break, remember, the strange voice will be me putting in to words what I typed into ChatGPT. And then I will read the response. And that'll be that portion of this podcast. I hope you enjoy it. I'm doing it because I'm curious about it. And it's a fun thing. So here we go.
Welcome to the Off Course Agility Podcast. How are you today?
As an AI language model, I don't have feelings or emotions, but I'm functioning perfectly. Thank you for asking. How may I assist you today?
Can you describe dog agility to me?
Certainly. Dog agility is a sport that involves a dog and their handler navigating an obstacle course as quickly and accurately as possible. The obstacles can include jumps, tunnels, weave poles, A-frames, seesaws, and other challenges. The course is usually set in a specific order, and the dog and handler have to complete the obstacles in the correct sequence without any mistakes. The handler directs the dog through the course using verbal cues, body language, and sometimes hand signals. Agility is a fast-paced and exciting sport that requires a high level of teamwork between the dog and the handler. It's also a great way for dogs and their owners to bond and have fun while getting exercise and mental stimulation. Agility competitions are held at various levels, from beginner to advanced, and dogs can earn titles and awards based on their performance.
Do you know what NADAC is?
Yes, NADAC stands for the North American Dog Agility Council. It is one of the largest organizations that promotes and regulates dog agility competitions in North America. NADAC was founded in 1993 and has since grown to include thousands of members and competitors. NADAC offers a variety of agility events for dogs and handlers of all levels of experience, using standard courses, jumpers courses, tunnelers courses, and others. They also offer a variety of classes and training programs for those interested in getting involved in the sport. One unique aspect of agility is that they use a different scoring system than some other organizations. NADAC courses are designed to emphasize speed and flow, and faults are amassed based on time penalties rather than fault points. This means that a dog can still earn a qualifying score even if they make some mistakes on the course, as long as they complete it quickly and efficiently.
Could you explain to me the difference between dog agility venues such as AKC and NADAC?
Yes, there are several different dog agility venues, each with their own rules and regulations and scoring systems. Two of the most popular venues in North America are NADAC and AKC. NADAC, as I mentioned earlier, emphasizes speed and flow of their courses and uses time penalties to assess faults. They also allow for a wider variety of dog breeds to compete, and their courses often include more distance work and handling challenges. On the other hand, the American Kennel Club, AKC, has a more traditional approach to dog agility. AKC courses are designed to simulate real-life scenarios and include obstacles like weave poles, tunnels, and jumps. They use a fault-based system, scoring system, where dogs earn penalty points for mistakes like knocking a bar down or missing an obstacle. AKC agility is also more breed-specific, meaning that only certain breeds of dogs are eligible to compete in AKC events. Additionally, AKC places a stronger emphasis on obedience and accuracy than NADAC. Overall, NADAC and AKC offer fun and challenging agility events for dogs and their handlers, but they have different styles and appeal to different types of competitors. It's important to research and understand the rules and requirements of each venue before deciding which one to compete in.
Could you write me a How to Train Your Dog for Dog Agility article?
Certainly. Here's an article about how to train your dog for agility. Agility is a fun and exciting sport that involves a dog and handler navigating an obstacle course as quickly and accurately as possible. Whenever you're looking to compete in agility or simply want to try it out as a fun activity with your dog, training for agility can be a great way to bond with your furry friend, while also providing physical and mental stimulation. Here are some tips for training your dog for agility. First, start with basic obedience training. Before your dog can tackle agility obstacles, they need to have a solid foundation of basic obedience skills like sit, stay, come, and heel. Start by teaching your dogs these commands using positive reinforcement techniques like treats, praise, and playtime. Second, introduce agility equipment gradually. Introduce agility equipment one piece at a time, starting with the easiest and safest obstacles. For example, start with jumps that are low to the ground and have a single bar, and gradually increase the height and complexity of the jumps as your dog gains confidence and skill. Be sure to use positive reinforcement to encourage your dog to approach and interact with the equipment. Teach handling skills. Handling is the art of directing your dog through the agility course using verbal cues, body language, and sometimes hand signals. To teach handling, start by practicing basic maneuvers like turns, stops, and starts with your dog on leash. Gradually progress to off-leash handling and more complex maneuvers. Four, use positive reinforcement. Positive reinforcement is a key aspect of agility training. Using treats, praise, and playtime to reward your dog for good behavior and successful performances on the course. Avoid punishment or negative reinforcement, which can cause stress and anxiety in your dog. Fifth, be patient and consistent. Agility training takes time and practice, so be patient and consistent in your training efforts. Practice regularly, but don't push your dog too hard or too fast. Celebrate victories along the way, and don't get discouraged by setbacks or mistakes. Six, consider working with a professional. If you're serious about competing in agility or want more advanced training for your dog, consider working with a professional agility trainer. They can provide expert guidance and support, as well as access to equipment and facilities for practice. In conclusion, agility training can be a rewarding and fun experience for you and your dog. By starting with basic obedience training, gradually introducing agility equipment, teaching handling skills, using positive reinforcement, being patient and consistent, and considering working with a professional, you can help your dog become a skilled and confident agility athlete.
Could you write me a story about the bond between the handler and the dog when doing at a dog agility course?
Sure. Here's a story about the bond between a handler and dog during an agility course. Samantha had always been fascinated by agility. She loved the way that dogs and their handlers moved in perfect harmony through the obstacle course, a blur of speed and skill. So when she adopted a young border collie named Finn, she knew that she would be an agility team. At first, Samantha and Finn were a bit awkward on the course. Finn was eager and energetic, but he lacked focus and discipline. Samantha was patient, using positive reinforcement to encourage Finn to learn each obstacle and maneuver. As they practiced together, their bond grew stronger, and Samantha could see Finn becoming more confident and focused. One day, Samantha and Finn entered their first agility competition. The course was challenging, with tight turns, high jumps, and a tunnel that twisted like a corkscrew. But Samantha and Finn moved through the course with ease, each maneuvering, flowing into the next. They were in perfect sync, their movements almost telepathic. As they approached the final obstacle, a series of weave pulls that Finn had struggled with in practice, Samantha could feel her heart pounding in her chest, but she knew that Finn could do it. With a burst of speed, Finn charged through the weave pulls, his paws flying like lightning. They crossed the finish line with a triumphant yip from Finn. Samantha wrapped her arms around Finn, tears streaming down her face. They had done it. They had completed the course flawlessly, a testament to their bond and teamwork. From that day on, Samantha and Finn were inseparable on the agility course. They continued to practice and compete together, each success strengthening their bond. Even when they faced challenges or setbacks, they never gave up, because they knew that together they could conquer any obstacle. In the end, it wasn't the ribbons or trophies that mattered to Samantha and Finn. It was the bond they shared, the trust and connection that only comes from working as a team. For Samantha, Finn wasn't just a pet or a competitor. He was her partner, her friend, her teammate, and together, they were unstoppable.
Can you change the story and make the dog a beagle and remove the corkscrew tunnel?
Sure. Here's a revised version of the story. David and his beagle Max had always been close. They went on walks together, played fetch in the park, snuggled on the couch. But when David discovered agility, he knew that Max would be the perfect partner. At first, Max wasn't quite sure what to make of the obstacle course. He sniffed at the jumps and weave pulls, wagging his tail uncertainly. But David was patient, using treats and praise to encourage Max to try each obstacle. Slowly but surely, Max began to understand what was expected of him. He learned to leap over the jumps, weave through the poles, and sprint through the tunnels. And with each new skill, David could feel their bond growing stronger. One day, David and Max entered their first agility competition. The course was challenging, with high jumps and tricky turns. But David and Max worked together flawlessly, each obstacle flowing into the next. Max's ears flapped in the wind as he ran, his tail held high with excitement. As they approached the final jump, David could feel his heart pounding in his chest. But he knew that Max could do it. With a burst of energy, Max soared over the jump, landing with a grin on his face. They had completed the course without a single mistake. David wrapped his arms around Max, laughing and crying with joy. They had done it. They had proven that a beagle could excel at agility with patience and persistence. But more than that, they had deepened their bond in a way that only comes from working together as a team. From that day on, David and Max continued to compete in agility together. They faced challenges and setbacks, but they never lost their enthusiasm or their bond, because they knew that with each new obstacle they overcame, their partnership grew stronger, and in the end, that was all that mattered to them.
Thank you for your responses and for being a part of the Off Course Agility Podcast. I thank you for your participation and hope you'll have a good day.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure to be a part of the podcast. Thank you, and have a great day too. And I'm back. I had a lot of fun doing that, I must say. And I am certainly very impressed with the abilities of what this AI, artificial intelligence, can do. And I can see why there's been a lot of articles and concern about people using it to do schoolwork and things like that. Because certainly, I think you see some of that power in what I've read to you from what was generated. Obviously, I feel there's a few errors in what I've read. One is we know that, and remember, it did say from 2021, but I know AKC had changed things before 2021, I believe, and they do allow mixed breeds in. So AKC is still very breed specific. I know that. I'm not disagreeing with it, but you can compete in AKC with a mixed breed dog now. I mean, I know that is possible. Although I think there's, and I'm no expert on AKC, I still think maybe there's preference given to the purebreds in entering and stuff, but that may not be true. So I'm not, just like the AI, what I say on my podcast, I'm not verifying. I don't have anybody verifying for factuality everything I say. The other thing is, in the stories, first, I was super impressed when I asked it to change the story from a border collie to a beagle, and I thought it did an excellent job with that, even kind of mentioning how beagles can sniff and their long ears, you know, or their floppy ears. So, I mean, that's definitely true. I mean, I know it. I'm a beagle lover. So, but the whole story, the premise that you're going to do that well on your first agility course with your dog is wishful thinking. I know there are some people that train really well and they do really great the first time they go on the agility course. But that is far and away a more unusual event for that to happen. And the article about, you know, how to train the dog, I actually thought that was pretty well done. I really did. In general, I think all the ideas it said there were correct. Now, remember, this thing has the internet at its hand. And I must admit, when I first started asking the dog agility, it probably didn't know where I was going, right? So there was, and obviously you can't know that because I just read the answer, but on some of the early questions, like can you describe dog agility, there was quite a delay before it came back to me. So I figure he was doing some sort of, I'm giving it a humanization, that ChatGPT was doing some sort of search to gather the information to answer that. And then when I asked what was NADAC, there was also a bit of a delay on that. But after that, it started to speed up. You know, I think it knew we're talking about dog agility. So let's be ready with more agility stuff. And obviously, some of the stuff it had told me earlier, it incorporated in the story when I asked it to write a story. But I'm telling you, just sitting there, this is the first time I've really played with this. And I wanted to do it like for the podcast. I'm really impressed with it. And I can see some concern here, you know, about kids or something using it. The power is amazing because it writes really well. And I mean, I've read articles where people have asked it, could you rewrite that article at an eighth grade level? And so it just would rewrite the article at a different reading level. I don't know what reading level this was at. I didn't ask it. I don't know. But you could make those suggestions to it as I did where, can you change that story to make it a beagle? And it just comes back to you with sort of the same story, but a little different. And in the first story, I didn't like the corkscrew part of the tunnel. So I actually said, you know, take out that corkscrew tunnel. I didn't like that part. So, because tunnels are generally curved. I've never seen a corkscrew tunnel. That to me was not a true thing for agility. Anyway, I am super impressed that this thing knew so much about dog agility and did so well. So I'm going to take a short break. I'll come back with just some final comments. I don't know if I really have all that much more, but I'll do my final wrap-up. But I wanted to just come and say how I felt after really doing this right now for this podcast. And kind of fun to have a computer as my guest. So I know you guys all probably do not feel like I had a guest, but to me, I kind of feel like I had a guest here because this was all new to me and it was a lot of fun. So I don't know if I'll be using ChatGPT for anything else. It is a bit interesting that I think it can do some coding, but I might get fired if I start trying to ask ChatGPT to do my coding for me at work. But that's the scary thing about this artificial intelligence, what it will do in the future and how it will affect things in the future. But I wanted to get a glimpse of it in regards to dog agility and to share it with all my listeners. So pretty cool, definitely cool. I understand what some of the articles now were saying about this and some other podcasts, because I listen to other podcasts, some of them tech-oriented, about ChatGPT. It's fun. If you have an interest, you can go to chat.openapi.com and you can try it out yourself, but you do have to give them at least an email to set it up. It was a lot of fun. See what else I can think of using this for, but probably not for the podcast. Although I do know it probably could write a podcast script if I asked it. It's so scary. Anyway, I'll be back in a little bit, taking a break. And I'm back, and I'm going to wrap this up. I hope you enjoyed the fun that I had. I know I had fun talking with ChatGPT about agility. It's interesting how technology and artificial intelligence can be used. And I think, as you saw when I was commenting right immediately after the experience, that I think is pretty awesome. And there were definitely, you know, mistakes in there. It was right about NADAG, the speed and flow. But I thinking about it a little bit after, it said things like the faults are more time-based. Well, that's true, but there are faults in NADAG too. So if you don't do an obstacle or you go the wrong way on the course, there's definitely faults. And that's similar to a lot of venues. So it's pretty smart in that it's able to gather all that data off the internet and off of its pre-training of what it knows. All those words when you're talking about something like this, though, it's just a computer. It's a bunch of numbers, but it's hard not to give it some human type qualities, like what it knows. I don't know that it knows anything, but it's able to do what it does, which is this conversational technique. If you ask it a question, it comes back to you with text. And it's pretty good at it. I must admit, it's pretty good at it. But as I did say, there is a little delay sometimes. And it was fun playing with a little of that. In a way, though, agility, thankfully, isn't confused by technology. It's hard to have any technology when it's you and your dog just running the course and following the flow of the course. So we're lucky in that way. I don't think technology really has come into agility. I don't think it ever will. I remember when I first started agiliting, all I had was a cell phone. There weren't smartphones back then. Now, of course, you go to a trial, everybody's using their smartphone or iPads to do the recording of videos. I mean, not everybody, but you see people doing it all the time. They're using their smartphones. You don't see people using video recorders as much as maybe when I first started, you would see people do video recordings. But now it's, you know, you use your smartphone because it's got a very good camera in it. So you use that. The only way I could think of current like technology and the future technology getting into agility is by cheating, essentially. And who really wants to cheat? Agility is a sport where it's you and your dog competing against the clock, against yourself. I mean, yeah, some people are very competitive and they think they're competing against others. And the only way I can see you cheating is through video runs. There is technology now that's able to use video and create video. The deep fakes, which is also a different type of artificial intelligence. And I suppose in time you might be able to create a deep fake of doing agility. You put your dog into the computer, you take some stock video, and then you would have to have the course that's the VT course, but you might be able to have a deep fake of your dog running that course. I know I'm dreaming a bit, but who knows what the future might be able to do. But why would you do that? Just to get a cue that really didn't happen? Doesn't make sense. Enough of that. On the NADAC front, I generally just follow the forum, and there hasn't been a whole lot on the newest of the NADAC forum. I guess it's the NADAC community forum. I'm not even sure what it's called, really, what differentiates it. I know my sister, she's on Facebook, so she does keep me informed when she sees something from NADAC. And I saw it on the forum, but it was after the fact, that they were doing a survey. They were surveying people about CHAMPS, about whether if you didn't want to volunteer at CHAMPS, would you pay $25 more, I think it was, or if you, and there was another choice too, something about if you volunteered, you would get the swag bag that you get when you're at CHAMPS. But if you didn't volunteer, then you would just get the acrylic awards that they have. And I don't know if that survey had something. I know there might have been a second question on it about, would you be willing to pay $50 more to go back to the days at CHAMPS where there were ribbons as opposed to the acrylic awards? The first time Belle went to CHAMPS, there were nice ribbons with rosettes, you know, for your placement. And then, I'm not sure how many times have Belle gone to CHAMPS? I'm not even sure. But the last time she went, which was 2019, and Belle's pretty much going to be retired, I think, because she just doesn't have the energy anymore to do agility. But anyway, in 2019, they were using these acrylic, that was 2021. I'm sorry, getting all confused. It was 2021 in Springfield that they had these acrylics. So your placements had like this round acrylic, you know, the position of, you know, one, two, whatever, second, third. And then there was like a ribbon so that it hung on the ribbon wall, but the ribbon was not a ribbon. Hard to describe, but if you saw it, it was kind of like you could put it around your neck and you had this award with this acrylic thing at the bottom that was your position. So that's the only thing I've seen in regards to NADAC recently. I saw some people questioning whether the top 10 had come out for 2022. It has not yet. At least I didn't see it on the forum. Didn't notice on the normal site, I didn't see it either. So I think they're still working on that. And there were some people asking questions about champs and stuff. But to me, it's still early for champs. I mean, I know some people like to register and do everything early, but I mean, champs is in October. It's only February, so it's a long way off. And I'd just like to close and remind everyone that if you would like to get in touch with me, every episode I have the email in the notes for the show. And you can, I'll tell it to you right now, you can always email questions, suggestions, offer to be a guest. I'm still looking for guests. At offcourse@optimum.net. The email once again is offcourse@optimum.net. And I thank you for listening. I thank you for following. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you're going to a trial, VT, or a real trial indoors, the weather will get nicer in the spring, outdoors, wherever you might be trialing, I wish you happy trialing.